calling me Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name? Buried in those cheers and applause? Well, of course there isn't. So here we are, just a fortnight shy of autumn. Hey, now there's a word I may never, ever have heard in conversation. Fortnight. One of those words you sometimes see in lit that's trying to be high-end, erudite. There are a ton of those words around. Another one is score. Not as in sports and goals and chicks, but the numerical meaning, as in Honest Abe's Gettysburg Address. Now, I may be inviting death threats and hate bombs, but I just have to say it. That speech was one of the most heavily padded and overrated pieces of oration in history. Beginning with line one. 47 years ago. Who the fuck talks like that? Maybe a guy who had a sum total of 12 months of formal education, which is all Lincoln got, and so he figured the more convoluted and flowery his speech, the smarter people might believe him to be. 47 years ago. What? Anything wrong with the number 87? The Gettysburg Address, pundits and historians claim, is a marvel of rhetoric and brevity and thought. A mere 272 words in 10 sentences, to which I say, bullshit. Lincoln could have said it better in 3 sentences and 22 words, and here they are. We're in an awful war, killing each other like flies. This is a good country. If we don't shape up, we're fucked. We say truth lives at the Take No Shit Dojo, and usually the truth is right in front of us, but we fail to see it because so many assholes have coated it with bullshit so thick they layered it on with a trowel. And our mission here is to turn a high-pressure hose, I mean a water cannon, like they used to blast gold encased in rock off of mountains in Alaska, to spray away the bullshit and expose the truth. Sometimes we miss the truth because we're distracted or looking in the wrong place. We all do it. And when we see the light, it's a head-slap moment. I've had a bunch of them. One was with a sliding glass door in a house I lived in. It took the strength of King Kong to make the goddamn door slide. And so I switched out the wheels and hit the rails and runners with every lubricant known to man, Teflon, silicon, even some of my own blood, but nothing worked. A couple of weeks before I moved, I looked up, and the upper metal frame was not fully screwed into the beam, so of course nothing I could do to the lower portion would help. I felt like an idiot. A few twists of a Phillips head and Stephen Hawking could have opened that door with his tongue. I missed the truth because I was stuck in a thought rut. So many of us are stuck in thought ruts. But then there are many of us, the overwhelming majority, I suspect, who don't want the truth.
You can't handle the truth!
They'd rather be lied to. So while a teensy number of folks listening to my speech from Abe that November day in 1863 might have said, hey, this dude's an old bullshit guy, the rest of them would have been crowdfunding John Wilkes Booth. These people would have been furious because Abe was not sounding presidential. We've all come to expect certain people in certain jobs to sound certain ways, haven't we? And when they don't sound as we expect them to, we question their authenticity or competence. Maybe somewhere, scribbled on a piece of crumbling paper in the breast pocket of Abe's moth-eaten coat, is my version of that speech. Maybe I time-traveled with Bill and Ted and gave it to Abe and he dug it. But being no dope, Abe gave the people what they wanted: unnecessary excess and flowery verbiage, presidential rhetoric, candy-coated bullshit. In that same house with the sliding door that made me an idiot, a slow leak sprang by the faucets for the washing machine. I'm a big DIY guy, but at that time was traveling all the time, so I called one of the two biggest plumbing companies in L.A. who promised to show up fast and work fast. They had fleets of trucks. You'd see them all over town with diamond plate bumpers and shiny everything and murals on the side of this movie star plumber with gleaming white teeth. And sure enough, 30 minutes after I call, this dude shows up looking like Don Draper. But instead of the Brooks Brothers suit, he's wearing a snow-white starched jumpsuit, not a speck on it. And he's got a metal clipboard and a high-end pen, and he shakes my hand, and his smile glints, and it's just weird. So he looks at the washing machine hookup for maybe like 7 or 10 minutes, a very long time, I'm thinking, because it's just a simple faucet leak. And he makes some notes on his clipboard like a NASA guy might do inspecting a moon rocket. And finally I just say, "Okay, how much?" And he clears his throat and taps his pen and says, "Well, my initial diagnosis indicates the integrity of the system has been compromised." I try to stifle a laugh, and then I say, "How much?" And he quoted something insane, like nearly $300. And I burst out laughing and said, "We're talking about tightening a fucking nut here." And then he laughs too and says, "Yeah, but hey, look at this uniform, that snappy truck outside. So a lot of overhead here." The guy immediately dropped the bullshit once he was busted. And I told him, "Thanks for the free estimate, but I'd restore the integrity of the system myself." And I did. You know, with a plumber's socket from Home Depot, maybe $10 and about a quarter turn, and it never leaked again. But somebody's buying the bullshit of movie star plumbing companies. Their trucks are still all over SoCal. I'll bet plenty of people know they're getting zoomed, but hearing a complex answer to a simple problem helps them feel better about overpaying. They bullshit themselves. We bullshit ourselves, don't we, when we rationalize shitty decisions? But the most harmful form of self-bullshit is when we undermine and undersell ourselves. Which may be what Dan, a longtime listener and Patreon-y, might be doing. Or we're going to put a stop to it right now. We're going to restore the integrity of Dan's system. Dan wrote to me and he said, "Hey, Larry, I had a bit of a troubled childhood and don't have a high school education, but I have grit and have managed to get through college. I got let go from my last accounting job almost 10 months ago because I couldn't figure out the time management skills. We had to keep track of every project in 6-minute increments." Just an aside here, Dan, Jesus, that sounds like the job from hell. 6-minute increments. Dan continues, "I've always had a natural talent for tech, so I'm looking for entry-level positions, but I'm a bit older, at 31, and switching careers. Right now I'm living with my folks and getting out there to do whatever odd tech work I can, putting up ads on Nextdoor, Craigslist for freelance work. And I'm getting some. I have certifications, but those mean nothing next to good and honest experience. So my question isn't about how to find a job, it's about how I find balance. I'm having a crisis of self-worth. I'd love to hear what advice the Take No Shit Sensei has for an honest guy who's just doing his best and has stumbled a bit." Wow. Hey, Dan, I dig you, man. Your problem is not time management or being 31 or switching careers or living with your folks. It is indeed, as you said, your crisis of self-worth. First of all, you are a member of the Take No Shit Dojo, which puts you head and shoulders above 99% of everyone on the fucking planet. I would suspect your self-worth issues stem from whatever situations you faced in childhood, and my friend, those are a bitch to smash, but you can do it. Now, when I was a kid, we had a Labrador. He was a big boy. And Mom didn't like giving him free run of the house when we weren't at home. His tail would knock over lamps like bowling pins. So there was this cozy little room in the basement, and my old man built a small wooden gate at the opening. When the dog was a pup, that room was his hang when we were out of the house. When the dog first encountered that gate, to him it was like the Great Wall of China. But as he grew, He soon could see right over the top, and he would stand there with his elbows on top and his feet nearly touching the floor on the other side. But throughout his entire life, he never, ever went over that gate. Because as a kid, he could not. So that obstacle remained insurmountable, even though he could have stepped over it as easily as we step over a threshold. No one can relive childhood, but we can break the negative patterns and perceptions we acquired as kids. What you need at this time, Dan, is to score. Ah, there's that word again. No, not Abe's stupid number score, but the sports-style score. You need to score some wins. So you've had a succession of losses, loss of a job you really didn't dig, and kind of loss of a career. You've realized accounting is not for you. And those two incidents are combined, certainly, a gut punch. And so now you face the unknown, and your confidence is at low ebb. So while you were picking up gigs here and there in Techland, you might consider also playing in some arenas where you know you can rack up some wins. Maybe you're a decent tennis player or bowler. Are you handy with a hammer and saw? Can you build something? Maybe pick up a musical instrument or bondo a rust spot on your car. Paint the house, something, anything that you enjoy and will give you a sense of achievement. When you can stand back and look at whatever you've done, your self-worth starts to ratchet up. And a victory in your leisure life does help you attain them in your work life and romantic life and so on. Winning, just like losing, is habitual. And when you start notching even little victories, it can start a chain reaction. In last week's show, I mentioned how poker players and even letter writers have a tell, a tick or a flinch or a word or a phrase that telegraphs the hand they hold. And one of yours, Dan, was right in your first sentence. I don't have a high school degree, but I did graduate college. Well, why lead with the negative, especially when the college degree completely cancels out the lack of a high school degree? Is it possible you're approaching many of life's challenges, job interviews, women, etc., through that prism? That, my friend, is a recipe for failure. Your second tell is when you say, quote, you have certifications, but they mean nothing next to good, honest experience. Again, you erode your own confidence as you belittle your accomplishments with that kind of statement. Instead of that, how about, I've got some prestigious certifications and am picking up valuable experience with every freelance assignment I complete. Winners always put on a game face and show their best moves right up front, and that's what you need to do. Now, this little enterprise here called That Larry Show just keeps growing every week, and our dojo members and senseis are the best fucking crew of people I know. They really are phenomenal, and I am honored by their friendship. We have each other's backs. So I'm going to throw out a request, a challenge to all who hear my voice. If you're in the tech field and you need a guy with a killer work ethic and is ethical and honest to a fault, as we've just seen in this dude, get at me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com, and I'll connect you with the fabulous Dan. By the way, he's in the Bay Area, but he can telecommute anywhere. We'll see if we can't help Dan get over that wall and properly launched. Now, another listener is hitting some speed bumps on the road to romance. His name is Travis, and here's what he has to say. I am trying to get with this great gal. We've not spoken in the last couple of days, and I was the last one to send a text. She gave me some constructive criticism about what I could do to better make her happy. Since we have not spoken in some time, should I go ahead and shoot off another text? I don't want to let this one slip away, but I know she has her choice in men. Should I just keep pursuing until I am told not to? All of the times that we do text, there is nothing to suggest she is not interested. Any ideas would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, and thanks for the great shows. Ooh, Travis, your question is exponentially more complex than Dan's because it involves a two-legged time bomb. A chick. When I took a leak about an hour ago, I checked, and I'm still a guy, so I polled a few females on your behalf. They are much more qualified to answer than I, so I'll share their wisdom with you in a moment. A long time ago, there was a best-selling book called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. That author didn't know jack shit. If he did, the book title would have been Men Are From Mars, Women Are From the Loins of Satan. No, seriously, Travis, men and women have damn little in common, but we do intersect at a few axes, and one of them is this. We most want what we cannot have. But before I go there, I'm going to lay the tell on you from your letter, as I did in Dan's, and that tell is this, quote, "She gave me some constructive criticism about what I could do better to make her happy," unquote. Fuck that noise, Travis. You are not responsible for her happiness. If she isn't making herself happy, and she's putting that on you, strap a rocket pack to your back and get as far and fast away from her as you can. But I'll assume maybe you misstated the latter part of her quotation, and that would be her giving you constructive criticism on you. That's not a good start either, my friend. Your third tell is, quote, "I know she has her choice in men," unquote. No, Travis, your attitude should be, if she wants any man but me, she's got brain damage. Pick the pointiest chick you know. For new listeners, get to episode 2 for a full concordance on the word pointy, as it applies to women. Yeah, Travis, pick that pointy chick and then imagine going out with her. At any interval in the greatest evening of your life, would you interrupt to lay some constructive criticism on her? Excuse me, pointy goddess, but have you considered seamed nylons instead of that taupe pantyhose? Or, excuse me, pointy goddess, when you laugh, you show too much gum, so try to keep your lips in check. I mean, Travis, that is just way off. In the early stages of a romance, she should think you are the second coming, but with better lighting and music, and if she doesn't, move on. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but everything I get from your email is that she has consigned you to the friend bin, which is like that wire basket full of DVDs at the dollar store, none of which you would watch even in preference to your own beheading. But I could be wrong. So let's say I am. And you need a little help on playing the nonsensical game that is dating. As I said earlier, chicks are the masters of all this stuff. They invented it with all their head fakes and sub-rosa signals and pheromone trails and hot and cold behavior, all of which is designed to confound and confuse you so they can get the upper hand. So when you meet some girl in person or through social media, you might be coming off too eager and too available. Now, of course, if you dig her, you want to be with her all the time. But if you text her too often or ask her for back-to-back dates, she may start thinking, what's wrong with this guy? Hasn't he ever had a date? Doesn't he have anything else going on in his life? And of course you do, but you're willing to clear the deck for her. But either way, when you are too eager and too available, you devalue yourself. Sad, but true. So if this chick is still around, maybe you can do a reset. Have coffee or lunch with her, then have to be somewhere else and leave. On time. Repeat this a time or two over the course of a few weeks and see if her interest in you is rekindled. If it is, keep seeing her, but don't be too available. Of course you'll want to be with her all the time, and it's a stupid and annoying game, but unfortunately, that's how it's played. Seems everything's a damn game, doesn't it? Everybody's got their shtick to hustle a buck, from not-so-honest Abe to movie star plumbers. And if you're really honest, like Dan and Travis, whether in business or romance, you get screwed. Or not. Thanks to Dan and Travis for their questions, and thanks to all of you for hanging with me once again. It's always a kick to be with you. If you've a problem, we've got a sensei here at the Take No Shit Dojo who can help. So drop us an email at thatlarryshow@gmail.com or a voicemail at 302-71-LARRY. Follow the show on Twitter at thatlarryshow. And if you like what you just heard, hop over to iTunes and give the show 5 stars. If you really like what you heard, join the dojo at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. That Larry Show for special rewards, bonus episodes, and access to our fantastic senseis. And if you want to let the world know that you're a Take No Shit dude, grab an official Take No Shit Dojo t-shirt in Gunfighter Black. Just go to thatlarryshow.com and click the Dojo Store icon. And so whether you are a dead president or just a guy trying to make a career change or meet a nice chick, this world is buried in bullshit. And to get through it, once in a while, you've got to sling some yourself. Just be sure not to compromise the integrity of your system. We'll see you next time, right here at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment. And until that time, take no shit.